Okay, let's do this.
Hello and welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast. This is episode number 142 for July 29th, 2008. Joining me on this sunny San Francisco afternoon are Editor-in-Chief Kristen Salvatore.
Hello.
Podcast producer Andy Bauman.
Hey.
And PC Gamer's beloved former intern Andy.
Good morning, PC Gamer Podcast.
That's the spirit. Alrighty, well, one thing we won't be talking about this week is whether or not Double Fine's Brutal Legend will be canceled as a result of the Activision Blizzard streamlining, quote-unquote, of Vivendi's upcoming game portfolio, because Tim Schafer is as dead as Lenin to me. So let's move on.
I feel like I didn't call everybody in. Is this how we got? We need some more people?
This is it.
All right.
People are traveling, they're on vacation, they're doing fun and exciting things with their lives. And
which so Lenin?
Yeah,
John or Vladimir.
Oh, no, Vladimir Lenin. I would never. I'm not disrespecting the good John Lennon. Even though I'm not a Beatles fan at all, I don't get it. I mean, I don't not like them, but you know, I just don't. I'm not connecting with that one.
Fair enough.
Okay, so I'm going to try to eliminate the awkward silence right now by moving on and asking: has anyone seen Kurt Schilling's Spore Monster? It does this dance that you just wouldn't believe. It is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Hey, all you curious listeners, you'll go to www.38studios.com. That's 38 as in the number. 38studios.com/news/show/64.
Whoa, and you get,
but you can get there from the homepage. It just says vote for Kurt's Spore Liberty creation, and if you check it out, it does this cool little monster stomp. That's what I'm going to call it, the monster stomp.
God, that is awesome!
I made a baseball in Spore last night. A baseball creature.
Are you watching it stomp?
I'm looking at
yes.
They're just the way it dances. It's hypnotic.
Look at that backflip. I kind of want to try this dance in real life now. I'm not going to lie. I'm just a little tempted.
It's doing this thing where it's like up and down and it's just fantastic. I love this. I can't. And then it goes side to side, you know? So anyway, you guys have just got to see it for yourself, guys and gals. It's appropriate for the whole family. Once you go to the site, though, what you're looking at is Kurt Schilling's website for 38 Studios. That's his game production company. And lots of interesting stuff to see there. As you may or may not know, Kurt Schilling, who was Boston Red Sox pitcher, right?
Yes.
Did I have that right? Sorry. I wasn't sure. The only time I ever picked up a bat was in Grand Theft Auto. So, Bloody Sock? What?
Yes.
What's going
on
in
a very famous World Series game a few years ago? He had actually had surgery on his ankle, and it was like the natural, except that instead of having the blood on his shirt, it was on his sock. So as he's like pitching the game, the blood was like coming through his sock.
That's
because he's pitching through the pain.
Holy! Wow! I remember when I was a teenager, we went to a show at the Bottom of the Hill. You ever been there in South of Market? And the bassist, his finger was cut at some point on the strings, and he kept playing, and the blood was like flicking everywhere.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Spraying all over you.
Yeah. I thought, man, that is commitment. This dude is hardcore.
I should also add that Kurt Schilling donated his bloody sock to the Hall of Fame.
Awesome. And now it's a crusty bloody sock.
And one last piece of information about that there was actually this whole conspiracy theory that he had faked the bloody sock.
Oh,
no way.
But you know what? That's cool with me. If you want to fake a bloody sock, go for it.
However, he actually, in response to the notion that he had faked the sock, he has a blog and put on his blog that it was like $1 million bet, like prove that it's not really blood on my bloody sock.
I'm not sure how you'd go about doing that, really.
Well, I think it was something like another player said that he overheard Schilling's, like, kind of laughing about the fact that, like, it was painted. Like, you know, it was all for PR, but I think we're all pretty sure it's not.
Wow.
And I'm not even a Red Sox fan.
So what is 38 Studios' first game going to be?
They're working on an MMO.
Yeah.
But they haven't, that's all they've talked about so far. And I, you know, obviously being a big baseball fan, I sort of zeroed in on this as soon as they made the studio. It used to be called Green Monster.
Yeah, I remember when it was called that.
Yeah.
This is throwing me off.
And so I actually, the person who does their PR, I actually know pretty well. So I've been, I keep kind of getting in touch with her to say like, hey, when are they going to talk about this? And they're just not talking yet. But when they do, I hope that they will come talk to us. I know that you also can't... that R.A. Salvatore is working with them, but I don't know too much more.
You know, if you do Google searches, you can sort of tease out little bits of information. Like they've licensed the Unreal Engine 3, Unreal 3 Engine, and also an animation technology that we covered in our October issue. You can read it then when it hits shelves in about a week.
Oh, the natural motion thing?
Yeah, so that tells you that, you know, if he's a sports guy and this is an MMO and they've got a really, really good animation technology that they just licensed that lets you create animations on the fly, so they don't have to be resource-heavy, preloaded animations.
But they're also working with one of the sort of foremost fantasy sci-fi authors, so I'm not really sure how this.
So who knows? Yeah, I don't know any more than that, but I.
And with Todd McFarlane, actually, they work with Todd McFarlane too.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So, I'm very interested to see what they come up with.
And he's a huge gaming fan, Kurt Schilling. He's even done reviews for PC Gamer.
For PC Gamer, yeah, he was a long time EverQuest player.
Yeah, he did EverQuest expansion reviews. I remember reading those.
Yep.
This may or may not be the best news in PC gaming history. Prince of Persia creator Jordan Mechner.
go ahead.
The creator of Prince of Persia series, Jordan Mechner, is reviving his first game. That was his first game, right?
It was. As far as I know, it was his first game.
How does it pronounce? Karateka?
Karateka.
Karateka. Oh, that's right. Karateka, like karate.
Karateka. Awesome.
I remember I played that.
Yeah, it's one of the first games I ever played.
Oh,
and I played
my God.
It a
lot. It was fantastic.
Yes.
And I remember being dazzled when I played it because the animation was so good for the time, you know?
Yeah, I was crazy for that game. So
just
I'm
like the first
excited.
Prince of Persia, you know, the way he would grab onto things and his body would shake a bit when he hit a wall. You know, it was amazing at the time. And the way he ran so fluidly. And I mean, before then, animations were just so clunky and graceless. But the hints we're getting about the remake, or the revival rather, are pretty interesting because... Mechner had told people at a panel at Comic-Con that it's a project that I can safely say is not going to be in the way you expect. So it started out as a martial arts fighting game. So, what do you think? What else could it be than another martial arts fighting game? Or maybe it will be like, Sissy Fight 2000.
Or what's the slap fight one we like? Rose and...
Oh, Rose and Camellia, yeah.
Camellia.
If you pick up our October issue for the 365 free games feature...
No, it's September issue.
September, excuse me. So this you can probably still... If you've got the September issue, otherwise I believe we have it online.
It's online.
At GamesRadar.com/PC. And you'll find a link to Rose and Camellia, an awesome... flash-based Japanese Victorian slapping game. Yes. One of a kind, ladies and gentlemen. One of a kind. Yeah, so I'm not sure where else he could take it, but hey, look what they did with Prince of Persia. Fine job, and now a feature film.
And a really cool-looking game coming up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Really funny new art style.
Yeah. One more thing about Karateka. If you don't know how great it was, and you want to... You know, if you just wanted to take a peek at some gaming history, well, I don't know. If I were you, I might, you know, look on a classic gaming site like, oh, Home of the Underdogs or something like that. But hey, that's just what I would do. I'm not saying that's what you would or should do.
This Karateka looks pretty cool. I can't believe I've never heard of it before.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, again, you can sort of just type in Karateka and, you know, classic gaming or Home of the Underdogs, and you might be able to try it for yourself.
It's like Gymkata.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly. It was a great, great game, though, for the time, and I'm very much looking forward to revival. There is some chit-chat about EA marketing a Crisis Warhead PC.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think this is fascinating.
Fact or fiction?
That's what we all said.
It's definitely fact that an EA, somebody who works at EA was discussing the fact that they're like looking into it. There's been a lot of response, and in fact, you know, something that we put on our cover. There's been a lot of response to Crytek saying, "Hey, for $653, we built a PC that runs Crisis Warhead really well." And lots of people said, "What are you talking about? No, that can't possibly be." And so, what EA is saying is, "Hey, listen, you know what? We may market a, you know, two or three different lower priced PCs in different configs that will run the game at various graphics levels." I think it's unfortunate that they sort of have to go to such lengths to prove that you can, you know, that you can play a high-end game on a PC that's not going to break your bank. On the other hand, I sort of feel like, hey, that's maybe not a bad idea. It's certainly an interesting theory. Like, if you can prove, like, hey, look, this is one of the highest-end games out there graphically right now, and you know, if you buy this PC, you'll be able to run it. It sort of hopefully will give people the idea that they'll be able to play equally high-end games, at least in the coming year, on that PC.
Oh, I didn't understand what you guys were saying, but now I get it. So what they're going to do is they're going to have PCs in the $600 to $800 range that they say EA like approves this to play Crisis Warhead.
Right.
Okay,
right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, it sort of seems like a backwards way to me. It kind of speaks to me to some of what we've spoken about on the podcast before, about hoping that that the industry can better educate people about the fact that they don't have to spend a gazillion dollars to play high-end games and to get a lot out of PC gaming. But it does sort of seem to me to be like a really extreme way to get that across. Like, I wonder if that's really...
But it's also interesting. Maybe we're seeing, and this is a wild sort of forward-looking statement, but maybe we're seeing the beginnings of the software, the game developers... side of things, pulling ahead of the hardware vendors in terms of making sort of establishing levels of PCs that just ordinary Joe can understand. That was horribly worded. And I'm going to try
that
all over again.
But I understand what you're saying. I get what you're saying, Logan. No, maybe they're
picking up the slack that the hardware people and the people like the PC Gaming Alliance aren't doing. They aren't successfully, saying, here, this is the 2008 PC that will play even the highest end game that's out there. If you buy this PC today, it can play all the games that are out there right now. And then we'll continue to consider this the standard for the year ahead.
Right.
You know, after 1 year, don't hold us to it. But for 1 year, you know, we can say that this is it. You buy this and you'll be able to play our games at their medium, high or high settings for a year.
I'd be really curious to see what sort of, what will this thing be built like? Will it be one of those little, like, what were they called? Frag boxes or frag? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, frag boxes.
Little shuttle.
The shuttle PCs, right? That were really interesting, but your upgrading options were really limited because everything was so cramped in there. So will they be like that? Will they be built so that people can upgrade them? And you know what? Did the PC Gaming Alliance do anything but send out a press release? Just one? The PC Gaming Alliance?
Did we have one of those?
I'm not familiar with that. Oh, wait a minute. I think... Yeah. Didn't they make that delicious soup? what was it? I'm sure if we were to go to them, they'd say, oh, we're working behind the scenes, or something like that, but...
I bet they wouldn't. I bet they'd say, what? What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we were supposed to meet this Friday, but... But we just thought everything's going so well. What is there
Why
to
would
do?
We...
Yeah. Look at E3.
Right. I totally agree with you, Logan. I think it's maybe if I were a
this
big
could be like the
software maker, I would be taking the bull by the horns too. If you're EA and you kind of have the resources to do something like that,
I wonder who they'll partner with. Yeah, and if it takes off, this could be the start of something huge. Like, suddenly people have a point of reference, that they can rely on.
Yeah, for sure.
And then if they extended it to laptops, we don't have to worry about anymore about seeing on game boxes, laptop chipsets may work but are not supported. You know, that's bull. No, you know, if you buy a laptop, you shouldn't have to be faced with that every time you buy a game. Well, you can try this game, but we won't support it, nor will we refund your money if it doesn't work. You know, that's no way to run an industry. That's the way I think. Woo! Yes, I love applause. Man, I eat that, you know, S word up. So bravo to EA for you know, people may see it as a marketing gimmick, but fine, I think it's a great idea. And it's just the kind of thing that a lot of unexpected opportunities might spring from. And, you know, by the way, I wasn't able to join in on the podcast last week, but I did listen to it. And I think it's fantastic that Games for Windows has gone live. But to be honest, I feel like Microsoft has to be a lot bolder than that at this point. They are way, way behind the game, and everybody knows it, and they know it. And, you know, thinking about EA, you know, doing this really bold thing makes me think that a company like Microsoft needs to do something dramatic. And I think that maybe they should step up and say, you know what, you sign up for Game for Windows Live. Am I on a soapbox?
I was just going to say.
I think you might want to check.
Logan.
Yeah. I think if they should, what they should do is if you sign up for Games for Windows Live, they send you a free gamepad or a free gaming mouse. I mean,
just to,
why
like,
not?
Make amends?
Not to make amends, but to make the point that this is a gaming platform. And
oh,
so
I
if
see
you sign up, yeah, you know, so you get something physical that as a symbol that says this Games for Windows is a platform like any other. And you know what? We'll send you this for free because, hey, you know what? They have lost, Microsoft has lost, I think, since the original Xbox, something on the order of $6 billion they have lost in total, you know, after both systems. So let's say, their wired controller costs, what, $20? $25? So if how many people live in California? About 37 million. 37 million, I think, is the number. So if it was like 20 times 37 million, how much would that be? That can't be more than $1 billion. So at the very, very most, if every single person in the state of California got a free gamepad, it would be less than $1 billion, which would be less than the investment that they spent on both Xboxes. 1/6. So why not? Why not do it? If you really believe that Games for Windows is a platform, put it your money where your mouth is.
And it would be cheaper to just have Kevin Unangst go to everybody's houses. Like, hey, thanks for signing up.
Yeah, but that's what I think. I think it's not enough just to keep running, you know, and chasing everybody else's tails. You know, if you want to make a statement about Games for Windows being a platform, well, do something really bold like that. You know, give people something. I love free stuff.
Or they could just make a press conference at E3 for PC for Games for Windows. Because really, it's sad to see all those other press conferences, and then you don't get one for your platform of choice.
Think big. Free stuff, man.
Or free stuff.
Free stuff. All right. I love free stuff. But anyway, I have to admit, the wired controller is still a pretty good deal at $20. Let's move on, shall we?
Okay.
As I was away, I was scanning the podcast forums, and Supa.Fresh wrote in to say that I had mentioned a headset on the podcast before. He says, I'm in the market for a headset right now and wondering what it was. I can tell you that my favorite headset right now is the Astro A40 from Astro Gaming, www.astrogaming.com. It's got an unbelievably cool external mixer that I can plug my iPhone right into and pump the music over the game audio, which I just find to be awesomeness. But I think the one he is thinking of was the SteelSeries, was the one we actually used to podcast, which is the SteelSeries, which one model is it? The 5HV2 USB. And yeah, I think that's probably the one he's referring to because it's the one we always use. It is easily the most sturdy one we have ever used for podcasting. We have used them all. And it's far less expensive than the Astro A40. Astro A40, I believe, is $250, and the SteelSeries 5HV2 is only about $120. And you can check that out at www.steelseries.com. Remember how much we used to go through headsets? It'd be like, oh, this one's broken.
These are definitely the best ones. I should knock on wood because as soon as we get off, I'll be like, it doesn't work anymore.
Know, yeah.
These are definitely the best ones. The best ones we've had so far. In the, like, what have I been a PC gamer for, 2 years? Not quite. And I've gone through, like, three. This might be my fourth pair.
It's unbelievable how fast we went through them.
Yeah, you know? I don't know what we...
And it's not like we don't hit each other or anything like that.
After you're done, you just chuck them
off.
They
do hit each other.
No, in fact, I actually treat mine quite well because I've had so many problems with them, but...
they do that thing where they, like, rodeo with it?
Bad connector. Yeah, exactly. Woo!
But it would always be something.
Bad connectors or...
Suck, right? Do it all the time.
Yeah, sometimes... what I really like about these are the cord, whatever the cord is made of, it's better protected, I guess. So, I mean, because I've had problems with other ones where it's an unprotected cord and, like, I'll accidentally roll over it with the wheels of my, office chair or something, and that destroys them. And
I like the bendy mic that you can bend, but it doesn't move once you stop bending it.
Right.
But it's really easy to, you know, sort of move
to put it where you want it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I feel like it's pretty reasonably priced for, headphones with 7.1 virtual surround. Not bad.
So when you're hearing my voice, you hear it in 7.1?
I wish. No, yeah, you need to.
It's like having 7.1 Andes right here.
7.7 Andy.
It could be better than one Andy. 7.1 Andes.
I wish I should mix one of
We've
the
already
podcasts
got two.
In 5.1 and just see how everybody likes it.
That would be cool.
Would be
Can
cool.
you do that?
Yeah, totally.
You mean with our individual feeds?
Yeah, like I'll put Logan in like channel.
Oh my
I'll put
God.
Chris in the center channel. I'll put someone
Can
up.
I just be all the back ones and just
You're
sneak
in
up
the
on
reverse just, channel?
Like we'd all be in the
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That would be fun.
I guess.
And then we can add a laugh track too.
Oh,
for all my jokes. Like remember the what's purple and go slam 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 slam. Anybody remember that?
I remember. You go ahead.
A four-door grape.
I don't understand.
You know what? Don't.
What do you call a deer? What do you call a deer with no eyes?
What?
I have no idea.
I like that one.
You like that one
next
better
segment.
Than...
I like. I'm into the jokes that you'll find on a popsicle stick. You know, like I want to meet those writers.
Oh man, I feel like I don't even know you anymore. That was really intense. So another poster whose name I'm having a interesting time with. It's KLIU and then the number zero. So it's Kliu. Kluze. 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 It sounds a little French and Japanese at the same time. Kluze. He asks, any chance your magazine is going to be digitalized? Well, we're working on all sorts of cool things. Number one, we're already starting to put PDFs of our prior issue on the disc for current issues. So if you get the September issue, you'll get the August PDF of the entire magazine as well, which is really
two,
cool.
Two for the fries of one.
Woo! Davey. I heard the echo of my own woo in the background. I thought somebody was seconding me, and I was going to go, yeah.
Imagine if you had been in 5-1.
Yeah, man.
Whoa! So, yeah, so that's really cool. You can slap that on your iPhone if you know how to do that and whatnot.
Yeah, can you read PDFs on the iPhone? I was going to ask that. Can you read PDF files?
You can. You do need some third-party applications, but I think that the App Store has a few now as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, and the great thing is you can, you know, zoom in and do all that, so, you know.
But you don't get ink
it's
on
not like
fingers.
Because I remember when I was reading PDFs on my Pocket PC, it was a drag because if the text was too small, there was nothing you could do about it. You couldn't zoom in. And we are also working on some, you know, some very, very interesting and cool ideas, but PC Gamer, the magazine, as you know it today, will always be around, so don't sweat about that. I don't know if that was a fearful question or anything like that, but we are working on some very cool stuff in the digital realm. So go ahead and read it, that issue on your iPhone, because frankly, the iPhone games, I gotta say it, they suck.
No good?
No. Well, the thing is you know, there's all this talk about, is it the new gaming platform? I don't think so, because all the games are built around the idea that there's this accelerometer and that it has a touch screen. Two things that I just don't think make for fun games. Number one, with my finger on the screen of my iPhone, I can't see what's under my finger. And that's not cool.
Yeah, you can't really drag things around, huh?
Yeah, I got a total boner when I saw that they had air hockey on the iPhone. I'm like, oh my god,
That does sound good.
But then I realized that, so I put my finger on the screen, I'm like, I can't see my puck. No good. It's just touch screens aren't that great for gaming. There are some things that were pretty cool. I did like playing the old adventure game, Full Throttle, using a touch screen, even though it was a pain because the screen's so small, but it was still enjoyable. But those aren't the kind of games that are really coming out for it now. It's the ones where you have to drag your finger on the screen. It doesn't really feel that good to me. And there's definitely a lag using the touch screen and with the accelerometer. So it's not quite as responsive as you'd want it to be. Hmm. And the problem with the accelerometer games is that you're moving the screen.
Yeah, like monkey and super monkey
right.
ball. It's hard
yeah,
to keep track
you know,
of where
to
you're
me,
going.
That's, I understand that. I think that people really had a good time with the novelty of it. Like, you move your phone and it, you know, it knows which direction you're moving it in. But after playing it for a while, I'm like, this isn't fun. Because I'm not, you know, it's hard for your eyes to track the screen. And it's just like, it's using a feature that just isn't a very gamer-friendly feature at all. And I think they're trying to make it one because it is an interesting novelty. But I'm not feeling it for my iPhone as a gaming platform.
Hmm. What about multi-touch as a gaming peripheral in general? Even if it came to the PC and you were like,
you
using
know what?
It to control like a real-time strategy
maybe
game?
Maybe some brilliant person will figure out a way to, you know, a way that's useful in games, but I haven't seen it yet. Frankly, the games that I love were some of the shall we say, you know, the bootlegged games, basically, that
shall
were
we
on.
Say.
That were,
shall we say?
No. But
your
the
wares?
Ones that were for when you, no, not wares games, but when you jailbroke your phone, you know, the third-party games that weren't part of the App Store.
Oh, yeah.
And that aren't on the App Store yet. There was one, I think it was called Lexitron, you know, that was a really cool word game. And it implemented some of the iPhone's features in really sensible ways. Like, you shake the iPhone to get rid of all your letters at once, you know? It didn't try to make the feature into something that it wasn't. Like, you know, didn't try to write a whole game around that feature that isn't very useful. It just used it in a common sense way. If anyone thinks that there are iPhone games that really are cutting edge and super entertaining, I'd love to hear about them.
My favorite app so far is one I actually paid for, but it's not a game. It's like a beat sequencer, and I can write music for it. In fact, if we keep talking, I'll do an interlude live on my iPhone. Maybe one of our next ones.
There we go.
But it's a really sweet app, and it doesn't crash very often, which is big because most iPhone apps crash a lot.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. You make your own songs really easily on the iPhone using the touch screen. It's like a drum pad.
Oh yeah, there are tons and tons of great
so
applications for
yeah,
the touch.
Yeah, it's so cool.
I just don't think it's a great game device, and I don't need it to be, and I don't have a lot of hope for that. So that's my take. I love my iPhone, don't get me wrong.
That would have been a good spot for it, my song.
Well, now you can work up something really compelling for the next one. Let's move on to some questions, shall we? I want to hear from our faithful listeners.
We saved some questions specifically for you from last week, Logan, so...
Fantastic.
Here's the first one.
Hey, it's Will from Wichita, Kansas, and I have a question for all of you. I heard you talk highly of Grim Fandango and Alice, and I wanted to know which to purchase first. They both sound like great games, and I'm a gamer who appreciates any game. Thank you, and keep up the great work.
I'm a gamer who appreciates any kind of game, but I'm sure you remember Kill Bill, the Kill Bill 2? He's like, I'm sure, you know, which one do you feel most? Regret? Or what was the other one?
Five finger exploding heart.
God, that really didn't work out. Okay,
yeah,
I'm going to...
I don't know what you're saying.
God.
No, it was, he made a big speech and it would just fit in perfectly.
Was it the Superman speech? Oh. That's all I remember.
No, it was something else.
Oh.
A gamer who likes any type of game, but I'll bet you like one type of game more than the other. Grim Fandango, classic point-and-click adventure. Point at the screen and you click. Great, great humor and all that. Fantastic story. Very cinematic. And lots of funny puzzles. But it is a classic point-and-click. Whereas Alice is, you know, more like it's a third-person shooter, basically. Action-adventure. Jumping puzzles. Lots of shooting puzzles and cool weapons, that kind of thing. So, you know, whichever one sounds a little cooler to you. My, I have to say, I liked Grim Fandango better. I've played it through three times.
I say he should play through both, and I think he should play through Alice first, because Alice is a great game. But then Grim Fandango, I think, is a little bit more of an experience that you just have to like calm yourself, get ready for, live it, and you'll be super satisfied. And I think if you go from Grim to Alice, it won't like settle in as well, but if you go from Alice to Grim, you'll be like absorbed completely.
You know, I'll buy that. Or you play them both at the same time. What an orgy.
Whoa.
That's like putting Fig Newtons and vanilla ice cream together. Are you feeling me? Right? Okay, recipe minute.
Okay.
Take your Fig Newtons, put them out in a cookie sheet. Fire up the broiler. Let it do its thing for like a minute to heat up. All right? And then shove the cookie sheet under the broiler and close the door. And let it broil for like 45 seconds. Keep peeking every now and then. Just
to make sure.
Brown. Seriously.
Would they explode if you go too long?
No. And the tops will brown, and then the fig stuff inside will start to bubble just a little. Then take it out, and then dump them in a bowl, and then dump 3 scoops of vanilla ice cream on top. Serve immediately.
What do you call this?
What? When's the last time you actually
delicious?
Ate this?
I did this.
But you never eat anything.
I know. I did it like back when I was like, You know, I used to eat a lot of sugar. Remember, I was like, I could eat anyone under the table in this building back in my day, which was long days ago.
So you guys were talking about Twitter. So I jumped onto Twitter to update mine.
Yeah.
And I added a couple people, and I just added N. Guy Kroll, you know, who writes for Newsweek. And went back into my list of like people's updates. I think that might be all N. Guy does is Twitter all day long. 16 minutes ago, 13 minutes ago, 13 minutes ago, 7 minutes ago, 6 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago. They're all men, guy.
Oh my god!
But like,
now this is absurd.
He needs to realize he can single-handedly bring down Twitter if he's not careful. Twitter's a fragile creature.
It's like it's crazy how often he's Twittering.
Maybe he's got a Twitter bot.
I try to limit.
I want a Twitter bot.
Plug directly
or
to his brain.
Maybe I'll bet you anything he outsourced Twittering to India.
I try to Twitter like once a day. And even then, I try to Twitter things that don't necessarily make any sense. They're more just goofy.
I wonder if his cat Twitters too. Like in litter box. Out of litter box. On couch.
Sleeping.
Right.
Back in Sleeping. Litter box.
Jumping up, running around apartment for no good reason.
Chasing flies.
Staring at corner, right. Brooding. That would be kind of cool. That's one of my favorite games, is to try to like figure out what my dog's internal monologue is.
Yes.
Like I have a little voice that I think her internal monologue is in. She's sort of French sounding. She's kind of like half tired. French, half like a Latin American sounding. She's always talking like this, eh?
My cats would be so boring. They'd just be sleeping for like 16 hours a day.
You're cooking some pork chops there. Perhaps you would like to cook one of those for me. She's very erudite.
Extra rare, please.
Hey, excuse me. Do not pick that up off the floor. I will get that for you.
Can we have a whole episode where you're just in your dog?
Where I'm my dog?
Yeah.
Dog. Hey, lady, you seem to be spending a lot of time playing that game there. Do you not see that I'm here waiting to be pet?
Game or me, you choose. Oh, and now he's Russian, apparently? I don't know.
That's right.
Now he's from Moscow.
Listen.
I did enjoy Grim Fandango, but it is not
in Russia. Game,
you think I won't shit in your living room? I will shit in your living room, lady. I've done it before.
What do you think game your dog would play first, Alice or Grimm?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably Grimm.
Okay.
Because I think in my mind, you know, my dog is like, oh, what is this crazy? What is this craziness in this Alice game? Yes.
He could relate.
No, I think
yeah.
she'd probably go like, butt stomp. I understand this. Yeah. But only for a little while.
Cool.
Yeah, let's like load them up with more. Like there's, hey, Beyond Good and Evil. That's another great one.
Yeah.
It's like Alice in that it's a platformer action adventure. So lots of jumping, you know, puzzles, that kind of thing. But another great story.
I know it's sort of against the rules as a PC gamer to say it, but I love those kinds of games.
What? Like the platformer?
Are you kidding?
I grew up on those. I know most people play those now on consoles. But man, I just love them. Love them, love them.
Dude, that was a fantastic game. I love them too as well.
Any platformers.
Yeah. Remember Abe's Odyssey? That was a cool series.
Oh, I never played that.
It was really cool at the time. I don't think it's... I went back and replayed it a while ago and like, you know, a couple of years ago, and I don't think it aged well, whereas Alice really did. I mean, Alice is just as fun today. As it was when I first played it. Actually, it's better today because now my system can run it.
Yeah,
I did Alice at like 20 frames a second when I first played it.
Wow.
And it got annoying during the boss fights, but otherwise it looked good.
One note about Alice really quick is like there's this intro. I think it's the intro. It's like a little movie that it tells you so much information in the span of like 30 seconds. I was like taking notes on how they did that. I was like, well, this is insane, like exposition coolness.
Yeah.
It's like how she lost her parents, like all this crap. It's just like pictures like floating around. I don't know. It's really cool. Yeah. That's my film nerd tip of the day.
Let's take another question.
Okay.
Gentlemen, as the shining beacons of something, it was my hope that you could shed some light on a question, which makes sense since this is the MP3 question. Our friends at PopCap, ever since the release of Peggle a year and a half ago, it seems they've been sitting on their brilliant but lazy hindquarters. I had heard that there was an eventual expansion coming up for that fine title, but so far I've seen neither hide nor hair. Also, I think they were working on a zombie title of some kind. So if you have news or knowledge of anything, please do share.
Read this little story that I'm reading right now on Newsvine. Big wigs at The Price is Right are unhappy after a malfunction with the Plinko game last week. Does everybody know what the Plinko game is?
It's sort of what inspired Peggle.
It's like it's the way you can win the most amount of money on that show. Yeah, it's like a giant pachinko game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like Peggle, that's right. And but according to multiple sources, they had rigged it to hit the $10,000 slot for a commercial they were shooting. And then after the commercials were done, they forgot to reset the game.
Yes.
$10,000.
Whoops.
Well, they certainly haven't been sitting on their keisters, whatever that happens to be. As you may recall, in January of 2008, in our January 2008 issue, we talked about Peggle Knights. And that's what they've been doing all this time, is working on that game, a bigger and better Peggle, with new powers, new abilities, and all sorts of cool stuff. And you know what? It's right around the corner. How close around the corner? Well, you'll just have to stay tuned for a little while longer, and we'll be able to tell you. But it is indeed. They are coming out with a second dose, and it's going to be Peggle-licious.
Peggle Knights!
But seriously, it is coming, and it is coming very soon. As for the zombie game, we haven't actually heard anything about that since we talked about it in the January 08 issue, but I'm sure we will, probably around the same time that Peggle Knights launches. So catch us again in, hey, I don't know, a couple weeks maybe, and we'll have some specific dates for you.
Peggle-licious.
In the meantime, there's Tornado Jockey from Wild Tangent. I love plugging that game because it's awesome.
What a great name for a game.
It's fantastic. Anyway,
here's a wild question.
Ouch! My ears are bleeding. Please. Get Andy a de-esser for your podcast. Please, the S's hurt. They just hurt. And I can't stop listening because it's so good. Please, a de-esser, please.
Like a Nintendo DS? I don't know what he's saying.
Does a de-esser actually alter? Like, does it tear out the part of your throat that makes the S sound?
What is a de-esser?
I don't know.
A de-esser is the... Okay, so...
I have a Nintendo DS, though.
When what's-her-face... when Ashley Simpson is screeching into the microphone... A de-esser, every time you say Simpson, is when you talk into a microphone, the S sound can be really super high-pitched and screechy.
Oh, I see.
And so a de-esser, like, knows exactly what frequencies those occupy and then squishes them down every time it hears it. Like a windscreen is, I think a windscreen is a primitive sort of de-esser because it blocks the air that comes out of your mouth.
Reducing excess sibilance.
Exactly. So a de-esser reduces sibilance.
So does he mean like me or like...
A word that has a lot of S's. Probably all
of us. I don't
know,
because I don't think Andy Bauman is much of an S guy.
Yeah. No, I think he's saying like get one for Andy to use on the podcast.
I do run my EQ at a level that takes out that couple frequencies in that level, but... I don't run much automation. Yeah, I don't run any automation or anything that takes...
Well, it's like, yeah, it's a you can get, I'm sure, a de-esser plug-in, and I'll bet you... being a audio tinkerer myself, that I can find your freeware one easily. That plugs right into Audacity. You use Audacity or no?
No, but it might be. If it's
sure, but it's standard VST, right?
Yeah, if it's a VST, I can use it. No problem.
So, sir, we'll look into that for you. But until then, well, just keep in mind that
just turn it down a little. You know, I didn't know it was so offensive.
No matter how much it hurts less than love.
I'm always so confused. I never know what Andy people mean when they say stuff like that. I'm like, wait, what am I doing? Like, I'm checking my mic. Like, I have to settle down or like.
Your poop sock, Andy.
So
I don't want to be known as that.
Poop sock, Andy.
Oh, God. All right, let's go on to playlists.
Yeah.
My Ultima series quest, playing all the Ultima games in order, has been put on hiatus because I'm simply unable to focus at this moment. Instead, I actually fired up Jericho for the PC. I played that on the Xbox 360, and it was eh. But I'm actually enjoying it on the PC. It's a nice, incredibly gory, gushy horror game. It's sort of like it's squad based, you know, very very light squad based, very very light tactics. Mostly, it's just a third person shooter with a lot of guts, literally. I've also fired up Stalker. This time, I'm going to finish it, and of course, Spore. Oh, Spore! But we'll talk about that some more. Next week. And Dan Stapleton was kind enough to bring a copy of Fallout 1 because here it comes.
He's sharing the love.
I never played any of the Fallout games.
You know what? I've got Fallout 2 sitting right here on my desk when you're done with that one.
You have Fallout 2?
Yes, I do, but I'm...
He didn't have 2. Okay, well,
you
I'm going to do
You can borrow
one.
It if you want. I'm playing Spore right now, so if you want to borrow it from me, but yeah, after I'm done with Spore, I'm going to go back to it.
And then, yeah.
I just got really excited for you because... They are certainly amazing franchises. Yeah.
So here's somebody who doesn't know the goodness yet.
Yeah.
You know, just like I keep pushing other games on people, going, "Oh man, I wish I could be you," not having played that game yet, because you have something incredible coming up. Because I remember the first time I read through Dan's Fallout 3 feature, I'm like, "Oh." So I want to have all the backstory. I want to have a grasp of the game before I take that on. Christian, how about you? We know you're playing Spore.
Yeah, I'm playing Spore. That's really the only thing I'm playing right now.
Spore.
I actually have it going at work and at home, so I'm sort of playing it two different ways. Like at work, at work I've been sort of concentrated on playing the game, you know, where you start in the cell phase and you progress, and then at home I've just been noodling around in the different editor, the different creature creator, not creature creators. I don't know what to call them, the creature creator, the building creator, the spaceship creator. So I've just been kind of creating new stuff that will eventually I can just, you know, upload to help populate the Sporopedia. Mm-hmm. It's not up and running yet, but it will be in like 2 days. It's kind of interesting. Logan, you and I have discussed the fact that we've both found ourselves almost paralyzed by choice in the creators.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bummer. Like I would like to think of myself as having a pretty rich imagination. And these tools are so robust, and you can really see when you look at some of the other things that people who clearly have, you know, like the developers, like people who've spent more time with them, have made absolutely amazing stuff. And you just look at it and you're like, how did they manipulate the tools to do this? But they have, and they do. And I still am totally stuck at the phase where everything is like a round body and like feet, you know, 2 feet and two arms. Like I just, or I was telling Logan yesterday, I was like, okay, I'm going to try to bust out of that. So I was sort of looking around, and then I got stuck into like, I'm going to make a building that looks just like this Kleenex box, or I'm going to make a building that looks just like my telephone, or like I just haven't, for some reason, been able to completely let go yet and just kind of.
Yeah. I look at other people's creatures and I'm like, I can't believe why didn't I think of that?
Right.
You know?
So I don't know if it's the fact that my creativity bent is more in the words department than in the aesthetics department. I mean, I'm not an artist, but I'd like to believe it's really just a function of kind of letting go of what my brain thinks it should do with these tools and just kind of seeing what happens. But yeah, so far the funnest thing I've done is I built a baseball creature yesterday and called it Raleigh Fingers.
My guess is, I mean, you're an adult and you're a professional and you're a leader in the magazine, you know, you need information to make decisions, you know, and you do that 1,000 times a day, every day. And that's a very adult thing, you know, so when we're faced with something and we don't like, oh, where's the information I need to make the decisions? You know, I think that's just an adult reflex.
It might
Kids, you know, they look at something, they just start playing. They pull stuff down and they're not thinking about what's the end result or what am I trying to create, you know? They just get in there and get dirty.
Right.
Because I know when I look at the creature creator, sometimes when I start a new creature, I have this weird, awkward moment of, what? You know? I don't just get in there and get dirty, and I want to. I have to push myself to do that.
But in that respect, it's fun. Like I sort of, it's been an interesting little personal journey.
Yeah. And once you start going, you're like, wah.
Yeah.
So, Andy Bauman, how about you? What have you been playing?
I've been playing Beyond Good and Evil, which you should be excited about. I've been just having to like pick my way through it. I haven't just sat down and sessioned it for like hours and hours, which I really want to, but I just haven't been able to make it happen. And I'm so satisfied. I had ups and downs. I was like, I don't know if I'm into it. Like at the beginning, you know, like the first mission going into the factory, trying to get my way in there. I was kind of confused. I was like, is this how the game is? Like, I'm not sure if it's like reaching that level. But then you're like going in there, the puzzles just like they compound onto another, like one another in a beautiful way. And they never keep you lost. Like whoever you're with, you have a companion. They like kind of help you. They're like, we should go this way. Yeah, and like Paige gets And I loved that monster that like assembled random parts and became like a mech. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That was like, wow. That's super creative. And I wish I was that smart to come up with something like that.
Let me tell you, the game will keep mixing it up throughout to the very end.
And I wanted to get your opinion on the music in the game. Isn't it just crazy fantastic?
Oh yeah, yeah. I wish they had done one of those soundtrack CDs. That would have been really cool.
I agree, because it's not just, you know, background music. A lot of the locations have songs that have like lyrics and stuff, and they're all.
You know what? I'll bet it wouldn't be that difficult to pull it out of the asset, off the CD. I'm gonna see if I can do that.
So I'm
even
really
the excited. Even the install song, you know, is do 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 do.
Yeah, I'm super excited to get more farther in the game.
Don't forget to look around and do stuff that, you know, there's all kinds of hidden stuff everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And if anyone's worried about the not having ability to save wherever you want, you have to save at the little machines. It's okay, because each room is sort of separated, so if you die in a room, you only have to do that room again, you know, so the penalty for death is nothing really.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't let that hold you back if you're, because I know when I hear about how there's no quick save, I get really scared. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point, because you don't have to go through, like, you know, three levels just to get back to where you were.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Mr. Salisbury?
I have been enjoying the World of Warcraft expansion beta a lot. It's really, really, there's a lot of cool stuff out there, so I'm excited to get out there and try that. And I got a buddy who actually just brought over Rock Band recently.
Oh, no.
And so all of us, like, the last couple nights have just been getting together in my living room and just rocking out. It's a blast.
I gave it to my sister for her birthday this weekend. Like, her fiancé threw a surprise birthday party for her.
Nice.
And it was, I was so, my heart was warmed. It was a you know, a party full of 25 people. I would say maybe three of whom are regular gamers. Like, you know, people who regularly play any game at all. And it absolutely dominated the party.
Yeah,
like, they could not get enough of it. She and her friends got up Saturday morning. I came home and she called me and said that they played for like 6 hours on Sunday.
Oh my God.
Wow.
They were like way into it. Yeah.
My friends and I had just like a session. We played for like 12 hours. And this is weird, because I'm the last person to ever like volunteer to sing for anything. But like, whoa, singing Rock Band is actually like a lot of fun. Like,
it's fun.
I really, really enjoyed it. And then on a weird side note, is drummers. There's actually just a UK study that said that we drummers, Kristen, mm-hmm. have the stamina of elite athletes.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that cool?
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then I've just been working on the blog.
Have you seen?
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, if also in the October issue of PC Gamer, Brett Tard, our homebrew columnist, wrote a really great column all about a bunch of Guitar Hero-like games that are available on the PC that are really, really awesome, and with a couple of mods, they look exactly like Guitar Hero. And since if you have Guitar Hero or Rock Band for your consoles, they're especially for your 360, they're USB, you know, USB ends, so it's really easy to actually get that stuff to work on your PC.
That's awesome.
Oh, cool.
I also heard Rock Band 2 is going to come out with like a drum kit that costs a lot of money, like, you know, $300.
Yeah.
But you can
actually plug it into a drum brain and it becomes an electronic drum set, like for reals, which
is pretty holy.
Cool. I mean, that's going to make a lot of drummers, you know?
I was taken back. Yeah, I think this alone too, because like, I mean, as a drummer, like I can see people who, if they start playing some of the more difficult songs on medium or, you know, just regular songs on the hard difficulty, I think they could actually sit down on an actual kit and just hammer out a beat. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. It's actually pretty cool.
You know what would be the ultimate accessory for Rock Band? Would be a guitar that is modular, so that when you hold it by the neck and smash it, it breaks into pieces, and then you can put it back together.
Oh my God.
So at the end of every show, you just bash, bash, and just wreck it.
That is genius.
My buddy and I were talking about it, and we want a piano add-on so we can play like The Who and
Keytar?
Stuff. And actually,
oh my God.
Keytar is the next one.
Can you imagine playing Bob O'Reilly?
You didn't adequately honor my idea.
Oh, but then you could smash the keyboard, and all the keys would go everywhere. Why's it got to be like that?
It's just a cry for attention. That's
I think it's time for me to interrupt with my song that I made on my iPhone.
For reals, let's hear it.
I call it DS This.
Did you seriously just do that on your iPhone?
Yeah. And I was not really paying attention either.
Holy free holy.
It's the best program, I'm telling you. Every time
you were talking about that lame one that because of the lag, you can't really record with.
No, you can.
That's an actual sequencer.
Yes, it's a sequencer and a drum pad.
Oh my god.
Let me tell you, it's $20, but it's a sequencer.
No, link me, bitch.
Okay. And a drum pad.
Oh my god.
Like a drum machine.
You're going to have to DS me spitting into the microphone.
It's seriously, it's worth like $150. It's like Fruity Loops. Okay, anyway.
Wow. Okay.
My apology to our repeat listeners, because I know I've been plugging this a lot, but just in case you hadn't heard it before, we're really eager to get people to sign up to hang out and to join us at our Showdown LAN events. If you go to showdownlan.com, you can get all the details and register and whatnot. It's really cheap, guys. Until what's today? Tuesday. Until Thursday, it only costs $40. There's going to be three events, one in Worcester, Massachusetts on September 5th, 6th, and 7th, one in San Mateo, California on September 19th, 20th, and 21st, and then one in Peoria, Illinois, September 26th, 27th, and 28th. We've had a bunch of people email and request information on when next, like, will you have a showdown in Texas next year? I don't know the answer to that, but certainly, you know, I know it's something we've been looking into, like, where are the right places to have them. But for this year, it's just these three. It's a 500-man LAN event. I want to reiterate to people that it's really, you know, we actually encourage people who are not professional gamers to come. It's more about, you know, there are prizes and there are tournaments, but it's really more about hanging out with sort of like-minded folks and playing together and, you know, playing games together, having fun, and meeting the PC Gamer and Maximum PC editors, because we will be at all three events. We'll be doing a podcast live from the San Mateo event. There's going to be some really cool contests. There's going to be a great case mod contest, and the winners are actually going to be in PC Gamer and Maximum PC in our holiday issues. You can win a chance to be a guest on our podcast. There's all kinds of cool stuff. So,
Showdown Land, the mod contest.
Yeah, the mod contest. We had a great time.
So
during the mod contest.
That is awesome.
It was really fun. So yeah, showdownland.com. Definitely check it out. Come on down. We'd love to meet you guys. It's going to be really
there.
Fun. And there should be. There's a bunch of, you know, it's $40, but you get a bunch of really cool swag. Not all of which I can outline right now, because we're still nailing down some of the deals. But believe me, like, the $40 that you're paying, you're actually getting way more than that back in just like free stuff. Plus, you're getting 3 days to hang out and play games and hang out with people. We were saying in our last podcast, it got kind of crazy last year.
Yeah.
People were like running around without their clothes on. Like, it was
that was pretty cool. I was thrown off by that.
Yeah, it was really fun. I was not surprised, but like kind of overwhelmed by just like how enthusiastic people were. We had such a great time. So I wish
Power supply toss.
The power supply. I don't think we're gonna do that this year, but
just to be clear, it isn't officially clothing optional, but you know it.
Yeah, no. Feel free to do what you need to, but. I sort of like, we only had two last year. We had one in here in California and one in Indiana. So it was a little easier for us to get, you know, lots of people to all of them. I totally wish I could go to all three. They're too close together, but I'll be at a couple, and Logan will be at a couple, and Dan and Evan, everybody's going to be at different ones. Andy Bauman is going to be at the San Mateo one.
Who's that?
Exciting. Pretty
oh, you tight. Are? I didn't know that. That's
yeah,
awesome.
I got to come out and party with you guys. And then
you guys are going to do a podcast.
Yeah. I'm going to drive down.
Live podcast.
Yeah, and Andy Salisbury. Yeah, you can meet ex-intern Andy. You can meet the gang. So,
you can smoke us at TF2 because I suck.
Right.
Well, they can smoke you guys. I'm kind of a big deal. I don't know if
we'll
you know
be like,
that.
Go ahead, shoot me. Let's get it over with.
Andy, you should bring your dad, Andy Salisbury.
Yeah, dude. I'll play BF2 with your dad.
He would school us. I'm not even joking.
Dude, bring him.
Hell yeah. He can like, have a clinic. Yeah. He can teach a clinic. To all the little kids.
He will run one. He'll be like, all right, guys, start it up. You guys
Mr.
can just
Mr. Salisbury doles out the pain.
Yeah. And actually, that's another reason I would say continue to check the web space, because we're there's announcements kind of coming every day about like new guest stars that are coming, and you know, there's kind of more information emerging. Some of it I can't really talk about yet, but watch that.
Like Left 4 Dead last year, mm-hmm. that was
really fun.
You know,
It looks so cool.
You know what I want to do? I want to make a mini documentary about my travels and coming out to the land.
Oh,
that is brilliant.
And you guys can put it on your video podcast.
Oh my God, we'll put it. All the hell, I'll put it on my personal blog.
Then you can be nominated for an Oscar and then hang out with Cate Blanchett and Angelina Jolie at the awards.
Okay.
I'm just saying you have that option.
I wouldn't refuse. I mean,
you can write your own ticket is all I'm saying. And for the mere entrance fee of $40, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll see you all there, right? Ladies and gentlemen, this is your podcast host speaking, and on behalf of PC Gamer, I'd like to thank you for listening to today's podcast. We know you have a choice of podcasts to listen to, and we appreciate that you chose to listen to the PC Gamer podcast. So that we might better serve you in the future, feel free to send your comments and questions to us in MP3 format to PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com. That's PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com. Or just call us toll-free at 877-404-1337 at extension 724 and record your question there. You can also become a important part of the PC Gamer family by subscribing to PC Gamer Magazine. Just head on over to www.gamesradar.com/PC. For the PC Gamer podcast crew, this is Logan Decker saying thanks for joining us today, and we're looking forward to serving you again. So while she's getting a beverage, let's just... Ooh, guy chat.
Ooh.
I'm having trouble thinking of a fifth soulless thing, I gotta admit.
Oh, you know what? I didn't realize that last week you guys talked about the D3. Soulless thing already. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah, about D3 being soulless. So that was my bad. So
I like woke up today and I was like, oh man, what is this?
Well, my list wasn't all that great anyway. I came up with like Dick Cheney... the entire Lohan family and United Airlines. That's all. Like, you know, after that, it was.
Yeah, mine's pretty lame. I'm not even gonna shame myself by sharing it.
Yeah,
it's pretty shameful.
Oh,
and I
Victoria
don't think
it's
too much shameful.
Victoria Beckham. You look at her pictures, and her eyes are so blank that they actually absorb, you know, everything around them. Like they suck everything in, so everything around her eyes looks blank too.
That's true.
Was that too ranty? Okay. You can cut that
hey,
whole
there
thing
was
out.
There was an earthquake down south.
In LA.
So like 5.8.
Everybody's a yeah, Twitter about it.
When did
Twitter.
That happen? And where was it?
This morning.
Okay, I guess my family's okay because they didn't call me.
I found it funny, like everybody Twittered about it, and it's like if I was in an earthquake, the last thing I think about is like, oh, I gotta go Twitter about this.
I gotta Twitter.
Right away.
No, it's exactly the kind of thing you would Twitter because it's not really a big deal. You know? So, but it's really
5.8's a pretty big earthquake, actually.
Yeah, but we've had 5-6-pointers and we're just like, whoa, feel that. That was crazy. I mean, it's not like you see buildings collapse around you or anything like that. Or do you?
I don't know.
No.
I mean, when I was a kid, we were in a... Oh, it's a 5.4.
Oh, that's
yeah. That's not so bad.
Well, isn't it like a magnitude of 10 or a magnitude
yeah.
of
yeah? It's like exponential.
Yeah,
but I mean, every point is a magnitude of 10. So I think
I was in a 5.2 earthquake in high school that was epicentered about, I don't know, 15 miles from my house, and it was pretty freaking scary.
Oh, that's really close to the epicenter too. But I actually think that going from 4 point to 5 point is 100 times.
Sorry, it was a 5.9. I'm wrong. And the Whittier Narrows, like, that's when I was.
Okay, that's huge. That's
it
pretty
was
big.
Yeah. Scary.
But yeah, I think 5.1, 5.2, there's 10 times difference. 10 times.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like 5 and 6. It's a huge difference.
Right.
I remember hearing about him playing EverQuest a lot, but I never knew he did reviews. That is so cool.
Hey, Andy. Yeah. I think you started to download or do something that killed your bandwidth.
Way to go, oh, Andy.
Don't ever do that again.
That's so scary. Didn't you hear him, Andy? You were like slipping back. void there or something.
Yeah, it was creepy. Like that. Stop looking at Victoria Beckham's eyes.
Did Victoria Beckham just walk into the room?
Come back to us, Andy.
I swear she did. And no one's holding a gun in my head. No,
leave him alone. Leave him alone. Posh Spice, leave him alone. Back off.
I'm going to tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
Even if you don't like Curt Schilling, even if you don't like baseball, even if you don't like games, you've got to see his monster. His Sporelebrity, I think they're calling it, whatever. So check that out. This is going to be a segue-free episode, by the way. Shoot, but instead of anything, yeah.
I can't wait. The suspense is killing me.
What's next on the docket?
I have to close these two windows. You know what? I'm totally going to go multi-monitor. I'm tired of this.
Is Marky Mark playing Max Payne?
Yes, Mark Wahlberg.
He just kind of delivers his lines, like, all quiet and, like, you know, raspy sounding, so it's working out.
Third nipple. I'm just saying.
Andy, we got to do something about your sound quality.
Yeah, you're fuzzing out again a little bit.
Wait, just like, let me see if I can go take care of this real quick. I think I know what it is. I think my dad's downloading something.
Yeah, it sounds like low bandwidth problems.
Poor Andy's got to go, Dad! Dad, I'm trying to
podcast! Stop downloading! Stop playing Battlefield 2!
So
dad's like, I'm number 2 in the world at Battlefield.
Yeah, he's probably like ordering an airstrike right now.
Is being trinipular like congenital? Is it like hereditary?
Is it genital?
Did I say genital?
Congenital?
Congenital. I did not. Did I? Oh, shit.
Did.
All right, how
are
we doing?
Is it genital? Yeah, yeah. I think so.
I have 3 nipples on my genitals.
Was your dad calling in like 50 airstrikes on Battlefield 2?
No,
there was a reason for that, Andy. I'm sorry that you had to hear that out of context. So is Marky Mark's daughter going to have 3 breasts?
Oh, I don't think it works that way.
It'd be perfect for the Total Recall remake.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. What? Are they really doing that?
Well, they should. If
there's a 3-breasted woman around.
Done.
Yeah. I heard one of King Henry's wives had 3 breasts, but I don't know.
What is the deal? Oh,
boy. It's like Dark Ages gossip.
Oh, my God. Did you hear that?
Kaz Boland, 3 breasts.
Hark.
Hark. Hark.
Dothest thou heareth? Did he restart? I'm calling him back in.
Oh, sorry. Can you IM me again? I thought it was spam. I saw a URL and then a quick thing. And okay. Yeah, because just the way the website looked, it looked like a, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Dude, I'm buying this, like, yesterday.
Yes. Oh, whenever I'm bored, I just fire it up, and I'm like...
I can't believe you did that shit when we were talking.
I know.
I wish I had an iPhone so bad.
Dude, why don't you?
This is phenomenal.
I don't have steady work right now.
Ask your parents. Did you say, don't you love me?
Dude, the few...
Well, see, we're on Verizon.
Yeah, I was on Verizon,
dad
too.
Dad was like, no.
Yeah.
If that's how much love costs.
I was on the family plan, too.
Yeah,
and I was like,
so I'm kind of stuck on that.
Worth going on my own for the iPhone. Anyway.
Yeah, but I hate AT&T.
Really?
It's just the coverage. I miss Verizon, man.
You know what? That's interesting. Like, at my work, I don't get reception on from AT&T, but I did at Verizon.
Yeah.
I have to, like, go to the window with AT&T.
Yeah, and like, the worst part for me about AT&T is constant failed calls. It rarely drops, but I often, like maybe 1 out of 3 times, have to redial a number. Mm. Yeah, but I mean, still, I love my iPhone, and now I think I'm going to love it more. In fact, I'm going to go home, buy this, and make love to it.